June 6, 1944, we know as D-Day. It's D-Day. And on D-Day, 60,000 troops stormed the beaches. 2,500 of them died in about a 15-minute span. And there's extraordinary stories of people's bravery and horrifying stories of people climbing over dead bodies to continue to advance on the enemy. It's an extraordinary, extraordinary story of bravery and of putting other things ahead of yourself. But here's what's true about every single person that stormed that beach on June the 6th, 1944. All of them knew exactly what they were headed into, and all of them dressed appropriately for what they were headed into. Not a single one of them was bringing their flip-flops and their beach towel and their rubber ducky to the beach. They were dressed for battle because they knew that they were in a battle. And in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is telling me, and he's telling you, you are in a battle. And if you're in a battle, you should dress appropriately. That if you go into tomorrow with the rubber ducky and the beach towel and your flip-flops for the battle, you are going to lose and you will end up being defeated because you are, the Apostle Paul is going to say, in a battle. And the overarching idea of Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse number 10, goes through verse 18. We're just going to look at the first three verses this morning. But the overarching idea is this, is you can't win a fight that you don't know that you're in. And some of us, maybe you didn't know until this morning that you were in a fight. But what the Apostle Paul is going to try to explain to us, and what I hope to communicate this morning, is that whether you like it or not, whether you asked for it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are in a battle. And if you don't learn how to stand, and if you don't learn how to make yourself ready for the battle, you will be defeated. We just saying, I'm fighting a battle. That's true. God's already won, but I still have to get dressed and I still have to prepare myself appropriately. And so let me read you just verses 10 through 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to talk about it for just a little bit. Hopefully at the very end, give you some practical things that you can do as you move into whatever this week is bringing to you. And then we'll receive communion at the end. But Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse number 10, says, finally. So he's talked about all of these things, chapter 1 through 6. He's talked about who Christ is and the position we have in Christ and what do I do because of who Christ is. And so he's culminating this entire letter, finally, wrapping it all together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Why should we do that, Paul? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore means because of what he just said, put on the full armor of God so that when, I have the word when underlined in my Bible, not if, not just in case, but when. That when I go into the work tomorrow, when I go into my relationships that I'm in, as I'm a parent, when the day of evil comes. So it's coming. There is a battle. I've got to get dressed appropriately. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. And so here's what we're trying to say this morning. Here's what the Apostle Paul is trying to say, that for me and for you, we're all in the same boat together, that the battle is real. The battle's real. The Apostle Paul believed exactly what Jesus believed, and he's trying to get you to believe that there is an unseen world. There is things that are at play. There are things that are at work, and you can't see them and you can't touch them, but here's what you can do. You can see evidence of them. You can see that there has been if you look at the rearview mirror of your life, I'll bet you can see some evidence of some things that you couldn't see and you couldn't put your hands around work in your life. If you look at the rearview mirror of your life, isn't it interesting? that at different times and seasons of your life, just the right temptation came in just the right way that kind of threw you off track, or just the quote-unquote right person was introduced into your life, and that right person kind of pulled you away from where you knew that you should be going. And then when we look in the rearview mirror of our life, no, we couldn't see in the moment that there was something at play. But for many of us, maybe for all of us, we can see there's evidence of, wow, I feel like there's something that was against me. And some of you might be feeling that today in your marriage and in your job and in your relationships and whatever it looks like for you. We're all different. But it just feels, I can't even explain it. I can't wrap my hands around it. But there just seems to be something that is pushing against me. There seems to be a force at work. And the Apostle Paul believed exactly what Jesus believed, that you're right, you're not imagining that, that you're not crazy. And it's more than just bad energy, and it's more than just kind of the way that the stars align, that there is a spiritual world that is unseen but is out to get you. The Apostle Paul would tell you that there is an invisible war happening around you every day. Right now, as you sit here in church, as you go into your home, as you go into your work, that there is a spiritual war. There are things that are happening that we can't see, and ignoring it doesn't make it go away. Not believing in it doesn't make it go away. Because I can't see it doesn't make it any less real. For some of you, you're deer hunters, and here's what deer hunters know, that the best way to get a deer is to make the deer think that I'm not there. And so you buy the camouflage and you buy the things that take away your scent, and you might even feed the deer, and you do everything that you can do to make that deer be at ease. You want that deer to feel 100% comfortable. You want him to not know that you're there. And it's not because you're that deer's friend. It's because you want to kill that deer. And that's what the devil wants to do for you. That because, so when we think about the devil, Western world has made us think, well, the devil is, they're foaming at the mouth and their eyes rolling to the back of their heads and they're levitating 6 inches off the ground. That's not it. That's not it. Because all of us would say, I don't want anything to do with that. It's way more subtle than that. He wants to toss you little treats and make you feel like he's your friend and make you feel like, oh, well, I gave into that temptation, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Oh, I don't see him, so he must not be aware. He's not your friend. He wants to kill you. That Jesus said it this way, John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief, the devil, he's got one goal in mind, to steal, to kill, and destroy. What goal do you have when you go deer hunting? It's not just to see the countryside. You have a goal when you go deer hunting, to kill something. That's what the devil wants to do to you. And so Paul says, because he believed exactly what Jesus believed, there is an invisible battle going on. C.S. Lewis, the great author, he said it this way, that humanity falls into two equal and opposite errors concerning the devil. Either they take him altogether too seriously, or they don't take him seriously enough. What the C.S. Lewis is saying is that some people go to the ditch where they just blame everything on the devil. And anything that goes wrong in their life, well, that must be the devil. Well, I gained 5 pounds, and so I need to rebuke the enemy of weight gain. No, no, no. You need to quit eating so many Oreos. That's the reason. There's no demon of weight gain. You don't have to rebuke the devil of fat. You just have to quit eating so much junk food, okay? That's not the devil. But on the other end, there is an opportunity for us to get to the other ditch that says, well, I don't, you don't believe any of that. Well, that's just not real. Well, that's just hocus pocus. That's just something that people have made up to scare people to get them to behave. There's two opposite and equally dangerous ditches. And the Apostle Paul is going to let us know, hey, you need to be aware. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid, because he's going to say, hey, be strong in the Lord. You don't have to be strong in yourself. And so he's not telling you to be afraid of the devil. He's saying, be aware of the devil. Just like those soldiers going into battle, they're aware there's something coming against me. And because there's something coming against me, I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to dress appropriately. And so there is the danger in saying, well, everything must be fine. It's like the hunters that throw out the corn for the deer. They want those deer to feel so comfortable, and they want those deer to come back, and they want them to just feel right at home. That's what the devil wants to do for you. Because what's the end goal? To wreck your life, to destroy you, to wreck your relationships, to wreck your future, to wreck any opportunities that you have. The devil is not your friend. He'll wreck your life if we don't get dressed appropriately. And here's what we all know is true, that where you're going determines how you get dressed. So if you're going to the beach, I just got back from the beach a couple weeks ago. When I went to the beach, how many of you know, I didn't wear a tuxedo to the beach. Be pretty weird to wear a tuxedo to the beach because it's not the appropriate dress for where I'm going. Now, when I go to a wedding, I'll probably get dressed up. Some of you buy a new outfit for a wedding. Some of you put on, I gotta find the nice jeans to get to the wedding. I gotta find the polo. When you go to Walmart, what do? You put on your pajamas that are one size too big. That's just what you do when you go to Walmart so that you can wander up and down the aisles aimlessly. That's just you. Where you're going determines how you get dressed. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, wake up. Wake up. When you go into work tomorrow morning, you're going into work and you're going into a battle. You're going into your marriage, you're going into a marriage and you're going into a battle. You should get dressed appropriately for it. So he says this in verse number 11, put on. As you get dressed tomorrow, you put on your nice outfit, you get ready for work, whatever that looks like for you. I want you to get dressed, but then I want you to get dressed. I want you to get dressed physically because it's going to be weird if you walk around your job in just your underwear. Nobody wants that. But it's also going to be dangerous if you walk into your life without putting on some armor. It would be like a soldier taking his rubber ducky to the battlefield. Just doesn't work. Put on the full armor of God. Why should we do that, Paul? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That word schemes, that's where we get the word method. That it's not this random chaos. It's not a one size fits all. That there's spiritual forces at work, Paul believed, that are specifically designed and tailored to you. That the thing that is coming against you is different than the thing that's coming against me. Because I have different ways that the devil can tempt me that wouldn't bother you in the slightest. That there are things that can knock me off track that wouldn't even faze you. And so there is not a one size fits all. He looks for your vulnerabilities. He looks for any openings. He looks for any opportunities. That how can I knock them off track. That is organized. It is a scheme for you. Peter said it this way, that be alert. Don't walk through your life asleep. Be alert. Wake up your mind. Be sober-minded. Understand. What does sober mind mean? Sober mind means you recognize what's going on. Your enemy, not just the enemy, it's personal. Your enemy. As you sit here this morning, If what the scripture says is true, if what Jesus believed is true, if what the Apostle Paul believed is true, is what Peter believed is true, if that's true, as you sit here this morning, there is a plot against you personally. There is a scheme that is being designed to knock you off track. And so Peter says, your enemy, the devil, he's not making you foam at the mouth. He's not making you levitate. He's not making you act crazy. He is prowling around like a roaring lion, and he's just looking. How can I devour them? How can I introduce something into their life that they think, oh, this didn't kill me. Oh, this didn't hurt me. Oh, that wasn't that big of a deal. Maybe it's okay. Maybe that was just an old wives' tale. Maybe that was something that felt pretty good. Why? To destroy you. He wants to wreck your life. And if you recognize that, here's what you do. Well, I planned for it. You ever watch the movie Home Alone? What a great movie. Well, Home Alone worked perfectly because Macaulay Culkin knew that there were some robbers coming to his house. And because he knew that there were some robbers coming to his house, he prepared appropriately. You would do the same thing. That if you got a text today that says, hey, sometime tonight, we don't know when, but sometime tonight, there's going to come some people that want to harm your family. Here's what I know you would do. You would get prepared. You wouldn't go to sleep. You would be alert. You would be of sober mind. You would prepare yourself for what's coming because you want to win. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, there's something coming. There's something on its way. And you need to be alert. You need to be aware. And so there is a battle. and it's going on in invisible worlds. And it is, it's a little bit strange and it's mysterious and how does it work and what's all going on? But Peter says, Paul says, Jesus said, there's something at work against you. You need to dress appropriately. Put on the full armor of God. And in that, you've got to fight the right enemy. For many of us, we go through life fighting the wrong thing. That we just see the outworking of things and we fight against that. But the Apostle Paul is going to say in verse number 12, no, you got to make sure you're fighting the right thing. Read with me verse number 12. For our struggle, anybody ever wrestled? Struggle is in the Greek, it's where we would act like wrestle, hand-to-hand combat. It's not this distant, you know, sniper rifle attack. It's hand-to-hand combat. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not against your wife. It's not against your husband. It's not against the opposite political party. It's not against those people. It's not against flesh and blood. Now we see and we fight against people. And I think, well, you're doing this. And so I need to fight against you and I need to argue against you. And this isn't removing people's responsibility. And it's not saying that you should just excuse everything. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. But he's saying you've got to be alert and sober-minded enough to recognize that what you see is not all that there is. And if you just fight your husband or if you just fight your boss or if you just fight the political party, you're fighting, you could be fighting the wrong thing. Our flight, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against things that you can't see and that I can't even fully describe to you. But Paul says it this way. Well, it's against rulers, against authorities, against powers in this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So you've got to make sure, am I fighting the right enemy? That there is a spiritual enemy that works behind the scenes. And his job is to create division. His job is to create strife. And if I can get them fighting that other person, if I can get them distracted because of all this other things going on, again, what's the ultimate goal? I want to wreck your life. And some of us have spent years of our life fighting person A when what we should be fighting is, man, I think that there's a spiritual thing going on. Brandon and I have this every now and again, that we just get into those moments that all married people get into, that we're just going through that cycle and we can't seem to get over it and we can't seem to get around it and we can't seem to work it out and we're fighting each other and we're picking at each other and we're just kind of in a bad attitude against each other. And one of us, usually it's Brandy, will finally take a step back and we say, I think there's something else going on here. I think that there must be something deeper because we don't talk to each other like this. We don't act like this around each other. And so here's a prayer that you can pray. God, would you help me to see what's really going on? Would you help me to see what battle I should be fighting? Because I'm fighting him. I'm fighting her. I'm mad at this group. I think that they should. Am I fighting the right battle? And so there is something going on. I need to fight the right way. And then the Apostle Paul says, you've got to get ready to stand. You've got to be ready that I know something's coming. I know that I'm going into a battle and in that battle, I'm going to stand my ground. Verse number 13, it says it this way. Therefore, because of all of these things that we've talked about, therefore, I want you to do something. I want you to get dressed appropriately. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when, and again, if you have a printed Bible with you this morning, and if you have a pen, I would just circle that word when right there, because it's just gonna happen. This is something you will experience, and you believing in it doesn't make it go away. And you not believing in it doesn't make it go away. And you not paying attention to it doesn't make it go away. When the day of evil comes, if you'll do the right thing, if you'll put on the armor of God, here's what the Apostle Paul says, you're gonna be able to stand your ground. Do you know what I want for you more than anything else? I want you to be able to stand your ground. I want you to be able to go into your Christian life, into the battles that you're facing, and I want you to be able to stand. I want you to be able to endure. I want you to know that you're going to be attacked and get attacked, and you come out at the other side and say, I'm still here. I still trust in God. I'm still going to focus on God. I'm still going to follow God. I'm not going to get taken off track. You cannot avoid the battle, but you can win. You can't ignore the battle, but you can win. That you can come out on the other side standing. You can come out on the other side victorious. Why? Because yes, you do have an enemy, but you have a greater Savior. You have somebody that is fighting on your behalf. What did he say in verse number 10 at the very beginning? He says, be strong in the Lord. My strength does not come from me. My strength does not come from my spiritual maturity. My strength does not come from me being a good person. Be strong in the Lord. I don't have to manufacture it on my own. John, Jesus' best friend, says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. There is somebody that's in the world. He does want to push against you. He does want to disrupt your life. He does want to steal and kill and destroy, and he wants to break you up and break you down. But you do have a greater Savior. You have somebody that is working on your behalf. That I am fighting a battle. That's what we're saying. I'm fighting a battle. I am in it. But you've already won. And so I can stand in your victory, that your enemy, yeah, he's real, he is real, but he's defeated. That what Jesus accomplished on the cross, he won. And so I just have to stand in his victory. I put on the full armor of God. That's what we're going to talk about over the next several weeks. What does it look like to have on the belt of truth? What does it look like to put on the breastplate of righteousness? What does it look like to put on the helmet of salvation? What about the shoes of the gospel of peace? What about the shield of faith? What about the sword of the Spirit? What does it look like to put on all of those things? Because you can win. I want you to win. Jesus wants you to win, and he's already purchased the victory. You've just got to wake up to the fact there is something going on. And so next week, again, we're going to dive into that there is truth that can hold you together, and that there is faith that you can have that can withstand and can eliminate all of the enemy's fiery arrows that he puts out. It's worth being here for. It's worth tuning online. But before we get there, just three really practical things that you could do until we get there next week. You all can do this. If Paul was telling the truth, if Jesus was telling the truth that I am in a battle, that the enemy is designing a scheme specifically against me, he knows what my weaknesses are and he wants to highlight those and work against those. If all of that is true, what do I do with that? Well, next week we're going to talk about the armor of God and how do I put on those pieces? But in the meantime, here's what I want you to do. Try it this week, just see what happens. Start every day with surrender. This is going to be new for some of you, because you start your day with TikTok, and you start your day checking your email, and you start your day, looking at your calendar. Stop. Start your day surrendered. Before you pick up your phone, before you swipe along, maybe you have to wake up a little bit. Just start your day with surrender. Check in with your Father. Today, God, I know I'm going into a battle. I'm going into a battle that I can't see. I'm going into a battle that I don't know what schemes that they're using against me, but I know that I'm going into a battle. And so I want to get dressed and I want to surrender everything to you. And I don't want to do it on my own strength. And so God, today, I want to go into whatever I'm coming against with your strength. Be strong in the Lord. Now listen, you can gain some degree of strength from being here this morning. That our goal is to kind of give you a shot in the arm and give you a little bit of inspiration and give you a little bit of something that you can take. But you can't wait until you get back here next week to get more strength. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because you might not be here next week. You might be getting ready to go on vacation. If the only strength that you get is from coming and sitting in rows, so glad you're here, it's going to be real hard for you to win the battle. It's going to be real hard because I'm not always going to be around. I can't be in every conversation. You're going to miss some Sundays. You've got to get strengthened in the Lord. Start your day. Just start it with surrender. You got to start your day somehow. Start it the right way. Stay aware. Stay aware. Start your day with surrender. Stay aware of the enemy. People are not your enemy. And I know that they are the ones that you can see and you can hear and you can touch, but people are not your enemy. The devil is. And he's trying to bring division. And he's trying to bring strife. And he's trying to bring me against you and me against them. They're not your enemy. The devil is. And so you just pray when you start your day tomorrow. God, help me to see what's really going on. Help me to see what battles I should be fighting. Take a step back. I know you're in a fight with your husband. I know you're in a fight with your wife. Is it possible that there's something more at play? Is it possible that some of the hits that you're taking are not from them, but from them? Something that you can't see. The devil is your enemy. The devil is your enemy. He's not your friend. And he wants to knock you off track. Just be aware of that. And then thirdly, just super practical, then we're going to receive community. You got to step into community. You don't stand well alone. It's possible, but it's really hard to stand alone. That if you're just trying to do this Christian life just on my own and I'll just do the best that I can, man, it's just going to be a lot harder than it needs to be. Lone soldiers don't survive long. You know what a lion does when he's chasing a group of gazelles? He looks for the one that's by itself. He looks for the one that's away from the pack because he knows, well, easy prey. And some of us have to be willing to be a little bit more open, to step into the community. You got to be open to letting some people know, here's what's really going on in my life. That I know how to put on the church face, and I know how to make everybody sound like I'm good shape and everything's fine and praise the Lord, brother, and areas are all right. Listen, somebody's got to know what's going on. It doesn't have to be me. For some of you, it shouldn't be me, but somebody needs to know what's going on. Somebody, you need to be able to tell somebody the truth about you, because the devil knows. Somebody else better know, because it'll be really hard for you to win and to stand on your own. You're stronger together. You're stronger together. For some of us, just really practically, for some of us, that could look like instead of at 10:15:01 rushing out the door, and I know you've got, or 11:15:01 rushing out the door, maybe stay for a little bit and connect and talk and build some relationships and go out to lunch together. Don't do life alone. Listen, if you've been feeling attacked, if you've been feeling discouraged, if you've been feeling overwhelmed, it might be something else that's at play. It could be spiritual. It could be that you're being attacked. And next week, again, we're going to dive in that God's given you some armor and we need to put it in. So I hope you won't miss it. But until then, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, open up our eyes to see what we need to see. For some of us, we've been in the ditch of not really recognizing or maybe even believing that there is a spiritual world that is against us that we can't see. And so, Lord, help us to recognize that we are in a battle. But Lord, we are so grateful that the battle has already been won. And so we can stand in victory, not because of our own strength, but because of what Jesus has done. Lord, for some of us, we've been fighting the wrong people. We've been fighting our spouse or our kids or our work or that other political party. Lord, would you help us to open up our eyes and fight the right battle? Help us this week to be aware, to be surrendered enough to you that we are living in your strength and your strength alone. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.